YT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition is in New Mexico because she wants to make this a better place to live. Isn't that true, Carla?
Oh, it is. I love this state.
Sometimes we could find an easier place to live, couldn't we?
Oh, boy, could we. Lots of choices.
Things are so complicated here, but we enjoy the weather. We enjoy mountains. We enjoy the desert. We enjoy the food.
Yes.
The people.
The people, the culture.
Yeah.
There is no better state in the union, but we've got our challenges, and so we're going to just come together and figure them out.
Well, hey, before we get going, I want to tell everybody about the Bash event coming up October 7th at Revel Entertainment Center with John Tamney. Why are you bringing John to town?
Because he's a phenomenal speaker. He knows a lot about the economy and what's happening and what's going to happen. And he can give us some very valuable insight about New Mexico and how we fit into that.
Mm. And businesses are still hurting from the shutdown and all kinds of other reasons, right?
They are. You know, when you look nationally at what's happened with other states, we didn't fare well because the lockdown here in New Mexico is much more severe than most other states.
Mm.
And it's harder for us to recover from things like that. And that's what we're suffering from right now.
Business and Social Hour is, let's have a bash with the New Mexico Business Coalition. It's October 7th. It's going to be at Revel Entertainment Center. And you can go for ticket information onto your website, which is NMBizCoalition, biz with a Z, bizcoalition.org, or you can go to abqconnect.online because we're going to post the banner, and I think you're even going to offer our listeners a little discount.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to support ABQ Connect, and so if you go to our website, if you go to the ABQ Connect website, it'll be a direct link with that discount already embedded for you.
Carla, let's tell people about the New Mexico Business Coalition. You are a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization for businesses. Tell us a little bit more about what you do.
That's correct. We're a not-for-profit, 501c4. We are a bold voice for business. We do a lot of policy work, so we actually help draft laws. We get involved in every legislative session in making laws better that have been proposed or stopping them if they're going to hurt your business or cost you tremendously taxes. We're going to be there. We've got your back every day.
And tell us how a member, somebody that comes on board with your nonprofit, how they would benefit as a business, because you have a lot of resources.
We do. We've got amazing connections. We can connect you with the people that you need to talk to if you have a problem with your business. You can also look at us as your personal lobbying firm because we are up there always and year round working on your behalf to get better policy. But we've had great success in connecting businesses with decision makers that can influence what's happening with your business. If you have a specific issue and you're a member of the Business Coalition, we can connect you with the decision maker to help you get through it.
So you were hustling to get down to the radio show from Santa Fe. You were just up at the conference with the oil and gas industry, and you mentioned the governor spoke. Was that yesterday?
Yes, yesterday morning.
Tell us about what you were doing in Santa Fe.
Well, I was up there to hear about the policy that was going on. We were just involved just last 2 weeks in the methane rule proceedings. Many people involved on the side of supporting the industry and just saying, it's okay to clean up. You know, we're all about clean air and water and the earth. That's great. But let's do it in a way where we can keep that industry working, providing jobs and providing a big part of our budget.
When you look at the rule, the methane rule that was being proposed or is proposed, the environmental, New Mexico Environmental Health, was looking at, or their board, I guess, is taking public comments and things up until Friday. I made some comments myself because I guess I get frustrated because I keep hearing science, 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 science about everything, about mask usage, about methane, messing up the environment and all these different things. But then I hear about the governor speaking yesterday about, let's make New Mexico the center of hydrogen production. Where do you think hydrogen comes from?
Right.
From methane. And I'm frustrated because it's like you want to take small operators in the oil and gas industry and you want to regulate everybody the same. You're going to regulate Exxon the same way you are, XYZ oil company that's been family owned for a long time, and they can't afford it.
That's
the regulations
right.
are just ridiculous, laborious. The amount of people that you have to fulfill the regulations and the reporting requirements are just silly.
They are. There's 35 new requirements that are being considered. And, of course, the environmental lobby has already come up and said that's not enough. And, when we stop, if you take a step back and you think about what's going on, the oil and gas industry does not want to release or flare methane unnecessarily. That is a valuable product. Mm-hmm. So within the industry, they've already been innovating in ways to capture that. So our point with this is that's fine if you want to have some rules, but why don't you set some guideposts? Let the industry figure out the best way to get there, because that would allow the small producers to continue to produce as well.
How would this be? This might be innovative. Gee, we have Los Alamos National Laboratory, Sandia National Laboratories, New Mexico Tech University, University of New Mexico, New Mexico State Highlands. Why don't we allocate some money to those entities and say, hey, let's come up with some cool ways to retain this gas, do conversion into hydrogen. Why don't we lead the nation in innovating this for the oil and gas industry in the world? That way we help the environment and we help our people.
That would be incredible, because we've seen spinoffs coming out of our labs where they get that licensed and they have a product they can market. And while we were there, I talked to no less than 10 companies that were working on this very thing. But if we got the brains in our labs to work on it, imagine what could be accomplished for the state of New Mexico.
And I can only imagine students might be really fired up to go to New Mexico universities and study this product and get jobs all over the world. And maybe we could actually retain some of these students to live in New Mexico. I think I've told you I have 5 children, and I think at least 4 of them right now are going to live outside of New Mexico, mm-hmm. which, hey, I want my children there. I'm blessed that they're all doing well, but I'd love for them to live in the state so I could see them all the time.
I'm the same way. I have 2 sons. One's gone, one's here, and the one that's gone, I don't know that I'll ever get him back. And I just wish we had more opportunities so that we didn't lose them to begin with.
So where are we business-wise right now? Again, John Tamney's coming on October 7th.
Yes.
Revel Entertainment Center. It's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30. In addition to John speaking, and he's a nationally known economist and writer, works has written for Forbes and other
The Wall Street Journal.
So he knows about not only the national economy, but world economy. And I think he's going to make some good comments about New Mexico and what maybe some best practices he knows of that our state could deploy.
Absolutely. And that's why it would be valuable for anybody, not just business owners, but anybody to attend. But the best part is there's also going to be food from the 3 Revel restaurants. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we're going to have entertainment by professional dueling pianists. And it is going to be a blast. So we're going to be there, and you're going to be there with us,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
And I hope your listeners will join us, because it is going to be a lot of fun.
Fun and information, do those two go together?
Well, we're going to make it happen.
See, that's the funny thing. I mean, of course, we're talking all the time with ministry people. We're talking about, accelerated Bible classes. We're talking about Calvary College. We're talking about our faith. We're talking about fighting crime. We're talking about all these different things. And so many times we approach this with this head down, gee, this is really, really hard. And the truth is, to me, this is very serious stuff, all of it. Even having fun is serious stuff.
Right.
We need to go have fun. But we can do this together and have joy and battle together,
right? That's exactly right. People ask me how I can continue to laugh and smile, and because I work on some really, really tough stuff that's sometimes pretty ugly. And I said, well, I find my joy in the Lord. And then we just keep moving forward that way. Either that or insanity is already set in. You know, you can be the judge of that.
Hey, we're going to talk about the Grassroots Coalition a little bit later, too, in the second half of the show. But I want you to mention to people, because I want to emphasize that you're a person of faith, but you're working really closely with Democrats and independents and Republicans, and you're bringing people together that have that want to stand on some common ground and say, this is how we can all agree to fix our state.
That's exactly right, because we have found that you don't find answers in an isolated manner. And our elected officials need help, and whether they realize it or not, they need the input from the general public. And so, yes, we're organizing voices to come together, as we did on the methane hearing, because that's what makes a difference. When the average New Mexican takes the time to speak up or write a letter, however they want to communicate, but to have their voice heard, because we need to be heard. Right now, the only thing that is being heard is the voice of the side that is generally not aligned with us, that is pushing honestly towards socialism. And I know that's a little shocking for some people to hear, but if you analyze what they're doing, the way that the business coalition has, you'll understand why we say they are pushing to socialism. They want to grow government. They want to grow government dependence. And we are for just the opposite of that. We want government there to the size that is needed to cover our needs in society. But that's it. We don't need to overgrow government. And we don't need to continue to allow people to be dependent on government.
We're going to cover some of these issues in the next couple segments with you. But before we do that, I want you to talk about your new electronic publication, because I want people to know where they can get detailed information about what we're talking about today.
Yes, we've got a new publication. It's called the New Mexico Sun. It's electronic. It's in English and Spanish. There's a toggle switch at the top. You can pick your language. It is a very moderate, middle-of-the-road communication tool that we're using to bring information that you may not find in other sources, because it's going to cover issues that need to be covered. And we're really excited about it. It's a new publication, and we're still working on its path forward. Would love your feedback, and you're welcome to submit op-eds. So we would welcome having you put your voice to work in our publication as well.
Taking all this information into account and the resources that you have available, you're really educating voters.
That has been one of our primary goals, yes.
And we have an election coming up.
Yes, we do. And it is so critical that people vote, because there are local elections in every community. So no matter where you're hearing Albuquerque Connect, ABQ Connect today, you've got an election, and you've got some important issues to decide on this year. We're going to have lots of information posted on our website to help you with some of those decisions. But most importantly, we are asking you, please vote.
I also want to point out, and you may not know this, that now we go down to Las Cruces. So I know ABQ Connect's probably not the best name for our Las Cruces listeners, but I want them to know that we do have them in mind. You, in fact, have a bash event, business and social hour scheduled for October 28th in Las Cruces.
Yes, we are so excited about that as well. Jonathan Williams is the co-author of Rich States, Poor States. He's an economist, and he is a vice president for the American Legislative Exchange Council. Now, you might think this is going to be kind of dry information. I can tell you it won't. He is amazing. Great attitude, good sense of humor, and he will talk very specifically about New Mexico and how we could do better in the national ratings of rich states, poor states.
And we seem always to be at the bottom of the good list and at the top of the bad list.
Yeah, and you know, in their rating, we are not at the bottom. We are in a free fall, though, right now, because of policies that are being passed. There's a big push with state government to increase taxes, and they like to do it when there's a surplus. That will be one of the main things that they're going to be talking about in January in the next legislative session, which is another reason we've got to come together and exercise our right to vote, number one, and to get involved.
The website for the New Mexico Business Coalition is nmbizcoalition.org, and there's a button there called Calls to Action. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Carlos just had people giving testimony to the environmental New Mexico Environmental Department about the new methane rule that, you know, that they've proposed, and they were gracious enough to take, you know, input from the public. But I'm going to carry that a little further when we come back and ask you how our listeners, how our folks can interact with legislators and other people that are representing us in Santa Fe. So Carlos Sontag is the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. She'll be back with us right after these messages. Please save the date for the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home annual holiday affair, benefit dinner, and auction Saturday, November 15th at the Embassy Suites Hotel, 5 p.m. Our annual holiday affair, benefit dinner, and auction is a fun way for us to share the successes of our children and thank you for your prayers and financial support. To buy tickets, donate auction items, or make a donation, call 898-5520. More information is available at acch4kids.org.
As you listen to The Light on KLYT, remember it's the support given by businesses like Dom Garcia Realty that make this programming possible. We'd like to thank Dom Garcia Realty for supporting Reaching New Mexico with world-class Bible teaching. Dom Garcia Realty supports KLYT and hopes you will too. Thanks, Dom Garcia Realty, a full-service brokerage assisting buyers and sellers, commercial and residential property management. Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Carlos Sontag, the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition, with us here today on ABQ Connect. Did you get Larry to retire from the police department so that he could come and be your chief of staff?
No, well, it wasn't on purpose, but the timing was perfect. You know God's timing. It's always perfect. Yeah.
Well, the Sontag family has a breadth of experience. We are going to talk about crime and its effect a little later in the show on businesses because it is a big issue.
Yeah,
and, of course, the mayoral election coming up. But before we do that, I want people to know on your website, which is nmbizcoalition.org, you can click on a button called Calls to Action. And there's things that actually give citizens an opportunity to respond. So, for example, you just had people we mentioned earlier testifying about the new methane rule proposed to the New Mexico Environmental Department. They took public testimony up until Friday. What was the response from the public as to that testimony?
Well, it was phenomenal because on the other side, they always have people. And honestly, some of those people are paid. So the testimony that comes from our side comes from the heart, and these people are not paid to speak. It was really touching. We had 200 people get involved in this, which was phenomenal. It was a first for this type of hearing. We had 47 people signed up to speak. They were taking public comment 3 times a day for 2 weeks, and we had somebody in every slot, sometimes several people. And we had 150 people send in letters. Giving their written comments, and it was absolutely phenomenal.
So, Carla, you're preparing for a state legislative session. I'm always confused by the 30-day sessions. They're supposed to be budget sessions.
Right.
But you get notified about things that are proposed, and you have to scramble to represent your members in the New Mexico Business Coalition. So how can our listeners get involved in that process? Is writing emails to your legislators something that's helpful?
It absolutely is. And we make it so easy. We've got kind of a one-touch system where it's already programmed to go to the decision maker at that time. So if it's in a committee or if it's on the floor, if you're on the floor of the House, you got 70 people to reach out to. We can automate that. And the letter's already written. You can change it however you want. But we'll send you the information about the issue. We'll send you a pre-populated email. And with a couple of clicks, you're on your way. You put in your information and it's coming from you. So we make it easy. During the last legislative session, we had 26,000 people respond to a single call to action. Mm. So it is important that the legislature hears from you.
I've got an email here that I think is related to the first part of the program today, and it just came in, and it basically is saying, what's the reason that the governor wants this methane rule? So I'm going to, and I want you to elaborate on that, but I'm going to tell you that the Biden administration basically wants all of our cars in this country to be electric. He wants to shut down oil and gas production. What's odd about that to me, and I'm just expressing my opinion, is that virtually every plastic product, what we would represent as rubber in our tires and our cars, which, by the way, those same tires are going to be on electric cars, all of that uses petroleum.
Right.
A lot of the products that we use is lotion. I mean, there is oil or petroleum products are virtually in everything. Gas products. I mean, there's
our cell phones, our computers, our laptops, our clothing. The list goes on and on and on.
So what happens is one of the very first things that our president did, Joe Biden, is he put a moratorium on gas and oil leases on federal lands in the United States. Well, what happened automatically, and we all know this now, you can go to the pumps. Gas is $1.30 higher than it was before he took office.
That's right, and I don't think it's finished yet.
No, I mean, it's going to keep going up. What's fascinating is that, you know, New Mexico now is around $3 for regular, but I think in California you're talking $4.50.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it just, you know, again, that's an inflationary thing and so on and so forth. And I am all for making the environment better. But you've already mentioned this. The oil and gas industry is doing all kinds of research, deploying technologies that are reducing gas emissions and everything else, trying to protect the ozone and our atmosphere. Car manufacturers have done a lot. Now, I don't actually know the answer to this, and this is why I'd love to see our labs involved. But okay, you've got these big giant batteries that are $4,000 that are in electric cars that are only good for about 4 years.
Right.
Well, what was the carbon footprint to produce those? And what happens when you try to dispose of them? I've never heard anybody answer those questions.
Well, I'll tell you, disposal is a problem because they are very dangerous. And unfortunately, now we're finding they are dangerous while they're in the vehicle. There have been vehicles that have started fires, and there's been problems with vehicles that are plugged in to a home at night to recharge where fires have started. We've lost complete homes. Mm-hmm. And so they're not as safe right now. I'm not saying they can't get there, but they don't have the technology to make that as safe as we'd like to see, and they're not as safe as regular petroleum-based vehicles.
I'd just like to get to a place where we're, okay, we have gas cars, we have electric cars. Let's keep developing those technologies and let's do the best for the environment, but also for people that are working in those industries.
Yes.
And let's also do something that's wise for consumers. And everybody can win. I don't think this is a win-lose proposition, but it is a win-lose proposition if you start making public policy decisions that are our final decisions. So this methane rule is going to put on, you mentioned how many requirements?
35 right now.
35. And I can't imagine how small businesses would keep up with the reporting requirements for that.
And some of them will not. And that's what's really hard. They put in the rule an exemption for a small producer, but honestly, it's completely ineffective because it was talking about less than 10 employees, which may work, but revenue of less than $250,000 of gross revenue. you don't even find restaurants that have gross revenue that are still in business at that level. Mm-hmm. That's before labor costs, taxes, and all the other operational costs. So it's really pointless that they put that in. I talked to a gentleman at the conference who said he had put in a permit to close down his last well because he knew he could not comply with the requirements coming out in this methane rule. So that's what we're already seeing, the impact, and the rule's not even in effect.
Very scary. Point to your website now and tell, what are you providing for consumers? What are you providing for voters there to get information about all the things you do?
So there's tabs that will cover all these issues. Calls to action, there's a tab for that. There's a tab for events, so you can find out about where we're going to be next holding an event. But there's also voter information, and we will cover the issues that excuse me, are going to be hitting you on the ballot. We want you there, and we want you to understand, because you're going to make a better informed decision when you go to the polls. And I will tell you, years ago, I was an uninformed voter. I'd go to vote, and there were things on the ballot I had no idea. I didn't even know they were going to be on the ballot. So I set out to make it where you don't have to face that anymore. We're doing the research for you on these issues.
When do you get an idea of what bills will be introduced in the legislative session in January?
They're working on that year round. You know, there's interim committees, and so we're getting reports on what is happening, what they're looking at. When we talked about it at the convention and outside, we're expecting to have more bills that will attack the oil and gas industry, more taxation. Now, mind you, this being a budgetary session coming up, anything that's put on has to be approved by the governor if it is outside the budget. But any tax increase, they consider that budgetary. So I anticipate we're going to have a lot of different tax bills we'll be looking at again.
You know, I was talking with an interesting woman. She is the president of the Del Norte Gun Club. Her name is Dawn Amdor. She was on the show about 3-4 weeks ago, and she was talking about, yeah, this is a budgetary session, but we're expecting the governor go after guns.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she gave us all the reasons that really it's not the guns, it's the criminals, and we really ought to do something about crime.
Oh, you think?
And I, you know, we're going to talk about that in a little greater detail, because I know that, one of your BASH events was to have an interview session with the mayoral candidates, Manny Gonzalez and Tim Keller.
Yes.
And we reviewed that before last time you were here, but we might talk about that again. And that election is coming up pretty quickly in less than 30 days. We'll be electing school board officials, a mayor in Albuquerque.
City council.
And city council. And probably some of those similar positions in cities all over New Mexico.
Yes, absolutely. Doñana County is going to be a big one.
Yeah. And so we need people to really be on top of, you know, what's going on in their community. Get the Christians. Well, I shouldn't even say that. I should say all of us need to get out and vote, regardless of your faith position. But I'm talking to our faith community right now. We have to vote.
Yes.
And
please.
And I mean, we statistics I've heard are 50% of us are registered to vote, and only half of us will show up to the voting booth. That's got to change right now. We just have to make a concerted effort, literally part of your ministry to other people in our community, regardless of what they believe. Your service to your fellow man, fellow person, so I can be politically correct, are to vote.
That's right.
Because it helps all of us.
And keep in mind, that school board election, city council, this is where the people that generally are pushing back on what we believe in, that's where they get their start.
Yeah.
And we've got great candidates running now. You need to get them elected.
Yeah. We might talk a little bit about some candidates when we come back, but more than anything, we're going to talk about what obstacles stand in the way for small businesses to thrive in New Mexico, because Carla, you have solutions and ideas on the positive side. We're not going to just complain. We're going to talk about some options, some best practices, and things that you've seen in other communities. We'll be back with Carla Sontag right after these messages.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, tell us some of the common misconceptions between what maintenance is required on a refrigerated air system versus maybe a swamp cooling system.
A really common misconception with refrigerated air is that you only need to have it maintained every 3 to 4 years. Refrigerated air should be maintained every year. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with that could be prevented, because 90% of our repairs are lack of maintenance. It's deferred maintenance. It's dirty coils.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
I love the story in Acts 16 of Paul sharing the gospel for the first time in Europe. And this woman named Lydia gets saved and gives her heart to Jesus. It's a fascinating story because prior to it, Paul had been trying to preach in Asia, but God wouldn't let him do it. Instead, he sent Paul to Europe. But the fascinating thing is, when Lydia, in Europe, gives her life to Jesus, Paul discovers she actually is Asian. She's from Thyatira, the place where Paul had been trying to get to Asia. So God redirected Paul, saying no to Asia to get him to Europe, to reach someone from Asia. That God's rejection in a season is not him necessarily saying no forever. Just trust him and be faithful wherever you are, and believe that leaving the results to him will, in the end, lead to a situation that brings him glory.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLusko.com.
From the KLYT Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. Kind of neat to see how you're working with other ministries and other organizations, Carla. In fact, I got a little email from Ethel Maharg, the executive director of the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico, about the BASH event this Thursday, October 7th. Be held, you're bringing in John Tamney, the keynote speaker. He's a political economy editor at Forbes and a senior economic advisor to, and I don't know how to say this, Toreador Research and Trading. Bottom line is, he knows about the world economy, knows about the United States, and he's going to give some tips, I guess, during his speech for New Mexico.
Yes, he's going to be great. He's also a weekly guest on Fox. So he does know his stuff. He's very sought after. I would encourage you to come and hear him speak, because this is a rare opportunity. We've never had him in New Mexico. So,
you know, Carla Sontag's a frequent guest on ABQ Connect. Is that on your resume?
You know, it is. That's one of my most important points.
I'm teasing you. Hey, what kind of obstacles stand in the way today for small businesses to thrive in New Mexico? And as I ask that question, I'm kind of thinking small businesses are oil and gas industry, manufacturing, people that are involved in construction, those type of people.
Right, and restaurants. Yeah. You know, I think bothers me tremendously is that going into the next session, we have a budget surplus. We have an extra $1.4 billion coming in unexpected from the oil and gas industry. So this is the time to make some hard decisions.
By the way, is the governor taking credit for that money flowing in? I guess I just wanted to kind of understand that whole equation. Literally everything that she is doing and the party in power at the White House is to kill the oil and gas industry. Yet because it's thrived and been doing really well, you know, I guess a a barrel of crude oil went from under $20 to now 70 plus.
Right.
So the industry is really doing well. And I love the fact that the incumbent party likes to take credit for that when they're trying to kill it.
They are. And, you know, the governor said in this methane rule making that she wanted to have the most stringent rule in the United States so that it would be a model for the Biden administration. And I thought, what a lofty goal when that's, it's 50% of the state budget when you consider all revenue coming in. Generally, we're talking about it being 30 to 40%. Bottom line, it's huge in the New Mexico budget. So why would you do anything to harm it? But that's what we're facing, and that's what we've got to deal with. So we have these challenges of government deciding who should be in business here and who shouldn't be. That's one of the obstacles that we have to overcome. But it is very challenging at times just to be a business operator, to get your permits, to get going.
Well, and I want to ask you a question about that because you're bringing up the revenues that it generates for New Mexico. Most New Mexicans maybe are not aware of the Land Grant Permanent Fund.
Right.
And I had this scheduled a little later in our interview, but I thought it would be appropriate to bring it up right now. Federal lands are all throughout New Mexico. So there are oil and gas leases to companies that pay those faithfully. And that money goes into a fund called the Land Grant Permanent Fund. And those funds are supposed to be used for education.
Right.
And that's both, you know, that's elementary through high school, and then our universities get some of that money. And that is a bunch of money.
It is.
The reason I bring that up is I'm hearing that legalizing marijuana, I'm going to say dope, the sale of dope and the revenues generated from that are supposed to replace the Land Grant Permanent Fund money that we're going to lose if oil and gas is gone?
Yeah, it's never going to happen. And speaking of the Land Grant Permanent Fund, here's an issue that will be on your ballot this year. And that is to take more money out of that fund. Right now, any economist will tell you, if you take no more than 5%, the fund will continue to grow because it will supplement itself with the earnings, right? And you can take 5% out on average and you're good. But they want to take another 1.5%. And it's going to voters because it is a constitutional issue. That fund was set up when New Mexico became a state. Feds required it, and it is going to be awesome to have for our children in perpetuity when we're no longer able to get revenue from oil and gas. But if you start siphoning off an extra 1.5%, it's going to start depleting the fund. And then we're going to have a problem because picture this, you've got an administration that wants to shut down oil and gas when the money's not flowing into the fund and you're taking out too much. Eventually, you won't have that fund. People think the billions in there is their piggy bank and we should just spend it all. But what about our children in the future?
I think people correlate the Land Grant Permanent Fund maybe the same way they look at Social Security. Every month you have money taken out of your checks, but you may not realize that Social Security is not a funded program. It's a line item on the budget. The amount of money that's taken out of your check, you'll actually hopefully have some benefit down the road when you reach retirement age. But people have been speculating for years that the money would run out because there is no fund that is earning interest. But that's not the way the permanent fund works. There's actual physical dollars that have been put in. They're invested. By the way, and this is not a topic I want to cover with you today, but I went in and looked at their portfolio of investments. I'm reading China on way too many of the investments, and that's a whole different topic. I'm going to bring that up with my friend Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates, because if we're going to invest money, let's invest in Americans.
Right.
I'm sorry.
New Mexicans.
Yeah, and New Mexicans, absolutely. I was shocked to read that information. But again, depleting the fund, it's going to go away and really harm. But Carla, you mentioned, I think, the last time you were here, I mean, education in New Mexico, it is a verifiable fact that, for example, the Albuquerque Public Schools probably spends near the top of per student in terms of dollars, $15,800, I think. Our friend Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation gave us that number. So it's not the amount of money that's being spent that's harming our education. But for some reason, our education system throughout New Mexico is not thriving.
No, and we have been increasing funding to education for the last 12 years, and our results have not changed. We still have poor graduation results, and our kids are still not competent where they should be once they graduate, which is sad. We don't have any standards for the schools to meet, and we just keep giving them money. And here's something really scary. The two leaders, the one in the House and in the Senate, George Munoz, Senator, and Representative Patty Lundstrom, have both said there is currently more money going into education than they can spend. But yet, they're going to ask voters for more money coming out of the land-grant permanent fund in November. So I'm encouraging people to educate yourselves on what that means to the future of education for our children when they don't need the money. Why do it? Why put our future children at risk? The other thing is we need to have standards for education. Instead of just continuing to throw money there, make them educate our children. Find a way to get our kids competent where they need to be so that when they do go to college or if they choose a different career, God bless them for that. We need our plumbers and welders and people in those trades, but they still need to know how to read and do math to be effective in those trades. And they need that skill taught to them effectively in school.
So I've been trying to have some candidates for the school board, the APS school board, on the show. And by the way, if you're interested in appearing on the program, it's going to be tough to get you on before November 2nd because we're booked up. But if you let me know that you're interested in coming on and there's a cancellation, love to have you. So you can email me, Jim at ABQ Connect. But I had Celia Cortez, who is a candidate for District 6, come on. And she told me something that was kind of interesting during the show. She said that, I shared that one of my favorite things when I went to El Dorado High School, which was when it was first built, long time ago, that's all I'm going to say about that. My favorite classes were, I had auto shop, I had sheet metal work. And let me tell you, we learned so much about sheet metal fabrication that I could have easily, right out of high school, gone to work for a sheet metal fabricator and been doing ducting and everything else. And those guys make a pretty good living.
They sure do.
Right? I understand from Celia that vocational arts is not offered in all of our high schools anymore.
That's correct. And I'll tell you from the business perspective, we have been fighting for that for years because not every student wants to go to college. And that is okay. We need people in the trades, but we need to start exposing our kids to that. I took welding and woodworking when I was in the seventh grade, and I loved it. It wasn't a trade I wanted to go into, but I'm thankful for the education that I got and the exposure. And I think all kids should be given that opportunity to try different things and find out where their aptitude is and where their passion is, because we need to keep building those trades, and we're not doing it well through our public schools.
Well, I date myself even more. Back in the days when we were learning how to program a CNC machine, we had these things called punch cards. And now today you can use a 3D drawing program. And it gives you all the coordinates and goes right into a CNC machine, and you can learn how to mill anything you want. Well, those are things that you could easily learn in high school.
Right.
And that's where the money, in my opinion, that's where we need to be spending money, not on, you know, this or that. I find it fascinating that we've allocated now in the last two legislative sessions close to $6 or $7 million to early childhood education. And that was allocated with no plan.
That's right. And they still don't have a plan. And this is one of the areas where they've got more money than they can spend because they don't have a plan. We're also having problems getting our educators on board. We've got a lot of openings for educators. And some of that goes back to state policy again. It's the decisions by the decision makers that make life a little bit challenging in New Mexico. So you have a choice when you go to the polls to get some better leadership, and I would encourage you to consider that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask you, maybe it's a fantasy land question. If there were just consideration for people and community, politics aside, What do you want the governor and our legislators to do?
For communities?
Yeah, just if, you know, to benefit businesses, what are you asking our governor and our legislators? What would you just want to go and say, hey, can you help us with this?
Yeah, well, the first thing they need to do in this session is rewrite our tax code, and they can do it, and they need to do it when we have the surplus. But in general, day-to-day operations, do your job. You know, when somebody puts in a permit request or they're looking for a license, figure out a way to get it done instead of leaving it for months on end. Sometimes businesses are facing a 9-month wait to get a permit for operations. Are you kidding me?
Carla, I'd be willing to bet you that COVID is now the excuse for everything.
It is. But the problem is this has been a problem long before COVID. But now they're saying, and rightfully so, they still have their employees at home. It's time to bring them back to work and actually do some work and get businesses moving.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about the election. I'm only halfway through my questions, and we've only got one more segment, so I'm going to do my best to get through the rest of it. Carla Sontag, the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition, is with us. Hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg is now based in Jerusalem, and he's releasing the new nonfiction book, Enemies and Allies.
I've traveled with Joel to Middle East cities to meet with kings and crown princes. We sat together on the east lawn of the White House for the signing of the historic Abraham Accords. And I previewed his new book, Enemies and Allies. I can tell you, it contains never-before-published quotes from behind-closed-door meetings with some of the most powerful and mysterious leaders in the Middle East. You will want to read this book.
Enemies and Allies by Joel Rosenberg includes insights and analysis from the author's conversations with some of the most controversial leaders in the world.
This is the first book of its kind. Almost nobody has ever had that chance to not just meet one of these major leaders, but to meet almost all of them, and then to get to tell the story in first-person language. Come with me into the palace, into the motorcade, and come meet the most interesting, consequential, and controversial leaders in the entire Middle East.
Enemies and Allies by Joel Rosenberg includes insights and analysis from the author's conversations with some of the most controversial leaders in the world. We'll send you a hardcover copy of Enemies and Allies as thanks for your gift of $35 or more. To give, visit connectwithskip.com or call 800-922-1888.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
I have a friend who's an astronaut for NASA. He's on the space station right now. And I love to think about how he went up on the shuttle in 2008 and added a module, made the gym bigger, added a bathroom. It was just a few weeks that he was up there. He had no idea then he would eventually return two more times and live up there for 6 months. And I love that picture, that what he built and gave in one season benefited and blessed him in another season. The Bible says that as we give, we receive more blessing from it than we actually give. And there's a greater sense of God's strength when we're having that mentality to give. Just like David, who killed a lion and killed a bear. And then he had the strength in his heart to defeat Goliath when he showed up on the battlefield. You're always in training. It's always a test.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLesko.com.
Bringing your best. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Do you remember when you had the most satisfaction in your work? How about in your relationships? Do you recall what it felt like to possess victory even after tremendous adversity? I bet you got a real sense of satisfaction after you brought your best to the table. President Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Do what you can, where you can, with what you have." In other words, President Roosevelt was challenging us to bring our best to each and every day of our lives. In athletics, a coach will say, leave it all on the field. In other words, don't hold back, but give it everything you've got. Listen, my friend, before you call that divorce attorney, give your marriage your best. Before you publish your resume, give your work all you've got. Before you quit again on that diet, take another step onto that treadmill. Bring your best and live with the satisfaction that you did what you could, where you were, with what you had.
Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back on ABQ Connect. Thanks for staying with us. Carla Sontag, the president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. She's the founder. She stayed in New Mexico to fight these battles that we've been talking about today. It's because she has a positive outlook for New Mexico. Am I right?
And a passion. I think we can do better. And I just, your listeners, I would encourage you to join us in any capacity that you can. You can get information on our website at nmbizcoalition.org. We'd love to have you more involved with us.
Plus, you can have some fun on October 7th at the Bash Business and Social Hour, 5:30 to 7:30 at
Revel Entertainment.
Revel. Why do I Revel just flew right out of my head. Revel Entertainment Center. It's a restaurant. There's going to be a piano, dueling piano show after John Tamney speaks.
Yes.
Well-known writer about the economy, both nationally and obviously going to be able to give some input to the economy in the state of New Mexico. A lot of the things we're talking about, Carla, were present in New Mexico prior to COVID. COVID's not an excuse for New Mexico, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. The lockdown was more severe in our state than in many states, and we will pay for that for a very long time. We're paying most severely with our workforce right now.
So the biggest city in the state of New Mexico is Albuquerque. Crime is just rampant. And I understand yes. that other communities around the state are facing this, but I understand the governor has endorsed Tim Keller for mayor. We've been watching, in my opinion, we've been watching an administration with the city of Albuquerque that has done nothing about crime. I mean, the statistics speak for themselves.
Right.
And I guess I'm confused as to why all of a sudden there's conversation about crime 60 days before the election, but there's been no conversation about it in the prior 3.5 years.
That's right. And, you know, honestly, Mayor Keller campaigned to get our police force manned up where it needed to be or staffed up with more men and women serving and to take care of the crime problem. And it is many times worse than it was when he was campaigning 4 years ago. So it's become a situation in New Mexico where we're not safe to be here and we shouldn't have to live like this. Some of it goes back to our judicial system and laws that were passed by the legislature. But you've got to look for a mayor that's going to be tough on crime. That is, I think, number one concern for many people right now. They want to be safe in their communities, and they're not.
I apologize. I'm so opinionated. But I'm going to say that Mayor Keller has had one disadvantage, as will any other mayor that comes in, and that is the oversight of the Department of Justice. If the federal government thinks that their oversight is helping our community in any way, they are wrong.
Right.
New Orleans has faced the same oversight in the past 5 or 6 years that New Mexico has, or Albuquerque has, the Albuquerque Police Department, and they're having trouble recruiting officers. The amount of paperwork is just ridiculous. It takes officers off the street. They have to sit at their desk writing up all these reports and different things for various things. And it just has become so overbearing. They can't hire new people. So, again, it's not just New Mexico. I want to look at the Department of Justice and say this. You need to leave Albuquerque.
Now,
That's right. I'm not picking on an individual. You know, as a Christian person, I'm not going to call out an individual till I talk to them individually. You know, I want to follow a biblical precedent if I have a problem with an individual, you know, follow what the Bible says. But when it comes to this oversight of this government ridiculousness called the Department of Justice, they need to get out of here. And we as the citizens, I think, we need to be writing into the Department of Justice and saying, please, we can handle this ourselves. We'll come up with, you know, a way to hold our officers accountable, support our officers, be 100% behind them. And at the same time, you know, I know a lot of retired guys that would love to be involved in training and different things, but they left the department because of the Department of Justice.
Yeah, but I think that some of this goes back to leadership with the city. And honestly, I believe that after 5 years, that's enough with DOJ. And they've been here for 7 years. Mm-hmm. So while they were there when Keller took over, he's done absolutely nothing to help them find their way back out. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem with citizens going to the DOJ is they're looking to the leadership in Albuquerque and the chaos that's been created. And they're saying, well, I'm not so sure you can handle it because our leader is doing nothing to get that under control. Or I shouldn't say nothing, not enough. Crime is worse than it was when he took office. So the DOJ and the problems that were in the police department, they're not seeing resolution. We need a leader that's going to go in, clean it all up, get the crime under control, get our police department where it ought to be, where then you can effectively say, we don't need you anymore. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, and I think once that happens, then we can get back to really attracting young people to get into law enforcement and stuff. Now, having said that, one of the candidates is Manny Gonzalez, Bernalillo County Sheriff. He's not having any trouble keeping his staff and the number of sheriff officers on the street. He's been able to do that and create a culture that's really positive. Mm-hmm. They haven't had any of the issues that were at one time, you know, why DOJ came in on APD. So he is in his, I think, either his seventh or seven and a half years he's been the Bernalillo County Sheriff.
Yes.
So he's not allowed to run again for sheriff, which right. is why he decided to run for mayor. You had an interview with both gentlemen at one of your bash events. How did you feel about their answers to these questions?
You know, they're posted on our website, and I would encourage people to go watch them. Those interviews are about 16 minutes each. But I'll tell you what, the control that Manny has over crime in the county, and I live in the county, and it's a lot safer there. I'll just put it that way. You feel it. You feel the difference. And the sheriffs that work under Manny are happy. There is, not saying every one of them, but generally there is a happiness there that you don't see in the police department. That's the reason there isn't the turnover in the sheriff's department. Manny's also got pretty strict policies and ideals about what he's going to do with the homeless situation and the other issues that are feeding the crime problem. He talks about not having bird feeder policies, and I love that. Bird feeder policy is if you provide everything they need, they're going to stay. He wants to help them get on their feet and either get back to work or find someplace else to live. And I'm all for it.
In all fairness, we mentioned Tim Keller. We've mentioned Manuel Gonzalez, the Bernalillo County Sheriff. We should also mention Eddie Aragon. He is the owner of Kiva Radio. Had him on the show. He has a show called Rock of Talk, which is pretty powerful, show, but he is a Republican, the only Republican in the race. And it's, you know, people have different, they speculate as to what each person, just in my opinion, the only plan I've heard is actually coming from Manny Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the other thing that I appreciate about Manny, he's not running on a party platform, and he has proven that he will work across the aisle. He doesn't care about the party. What he cares about is the crime and the effective management of the city.
Is the homelessness issues that we have in Albuquerque affecting business in a negative way?
They absolutely are, and it is contributing to the crime situation that we have. That's some of how the homeless are feeding themselves, not all of them, but many of them are turning to crime. Some of it's small, but some of it's getting escalated too, and it needs to stop. We need to help those people that need the help. There are mental issues and other things like that going on, and they do need help.
I have to say this because I'm always asking about best practices. You know, there's nothing new. We just got to figure out who's doing it right, take some of those ideas, figure out those best practices, be innovative. But for example, Alma Reynolds at Joy Junction, I don't know how to verbalize this. Jeremy Reynolds, her husband, passed away. Jeremy was a great friend of this show and this mm-hmm. ministry. And Joy Junction is now the largest homeless shelter of its kind in New Mexico. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
Alma has not been consulted by Mayor Tim Keller as to what they could do to assist Joy Junction. The leadership at Steelbridge and the leadership at Legacy Church, which backs that ministry, they've not been consulted. I just don't understand. We need to work together to get all this done, don't we?
We do, and you can do that, some of it, by getting involved with the New Mexico Business Coalition. We'd love to have you sign up for our emails at nmbizcoalition.org and join us if you can.
Love it, Carla. Look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Yes, I hope you'll be there.
See you then.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.